And we've had, you know, a week of prayer, and what a difference it can make, huh?
Yeah.
In our lives. Mm-hmm. So let's pray. Father, we Lord, we bow in our hearts before you. Knowing, Lord, that without you, none of what we know makes a difference. Lord, it's really just theory if you're not involved in it. And so we pray, Lord, that you would that you would bless, Lord, all that's going to be said today, all that we do today, and that you'd have your word come alive in our hearts. Lord, may we take a trip with you on the road, and may your words burn, because you're speaking, Lord. And we'll thank you for that. And praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bible with you, turn to the book of Isaiah. And the 33rd chapter. I remember I was a new Christian, and there was a doctor that I went to, and he was a believer too, and he said to me, he said, wait until you meet an anointed teacher of the word. It will really, really bless you. And I was like, oh, okay. And he called me and he said, if you're willing to travel an hour, there is a man speaking in a church in the Philadelphia area that I think you should go hear. And so I convinced someone to drive with me, and we went, and I got to hear a man named J. Sidlow Baxter, and he spoke an hour on prayer, and just what it, and he was like a very old man at the time, and it was like 5 minutes, you know, and it was just, and I said, so we went back the next night, and the next night, as long as we could, and I said to myself, oh, I need to hear somebody like that, Lord. And about a year later, I ended up in what was called the Bible Speaks. Mm-hmm. And the anointing makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it captures the innermost parts of our being. Keep your finger there in Isaiah and turn over to Psalm 31. Here in Psalm 31, it says, I borrowed this Bible from the other room.
Spanish version?
No. It's English.
you need a bigger text?
Or no, I can't. I can't find the scripture. It's in there. He says that. The Lord knows the distress of my soul. And anybody find it? Yeah, in verse 7.
Yeah.
I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. For you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities. Is this the King James? No, this is the New King James. No wonder.
Same thing.
Yeah. But it says that he knows my distresses. We think we got ourselves figured out. And you know, like, and you talk to people and they go on and on and on, I'm this way because I'm that way. But we don't really understand ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't. And if someone would, I mean, I got at a toll booth and I said to the lady, what do you want? Meaning, how much is it?
Oh.
And she said, I want $1 million. She said, that would fix all of my troubles. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And she laughed. He said, have a blessed day. And I said, you're a believer, aren't you? She said, yeah. But I mean, the world, I mean, you talk to people and they, my life would be changed if, because I understand the distress of my soul. But God is the one, he's the only one who understands what I'm really made of and what's really going on in my heart. Isn't that so? And so the anointing is what gets into the unconscious and the subconscious parts of our being where our problems really are. It's not so much maybe what I think, but it's what influences what I think that comes from, you know, the deep parts of my being. And it says, he says here, I understand. He understands. And he knows that my soul's distresses. He understands what my problems are. Truly are, and in that understanding, he knows. He knows how to fix them. And then, back over in Isaiah, in verses 5 and 6, it says here that the Lord is exalted. For he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And then the English Standard Version says, he will be the stability of your times, the strength of salvation, and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure, and the word near treasure could also refer to the treasure house. And so God wants to take the distresses of my soul and turn them into a place where he puts his treasures. You know, he fills our souls with pleasant riches. The anointing brings in the treasures of grace, the treasures of mercy, the precious things in our heart, he puts in our hearts, which revolve around him. So it's not so much what I know, but it's what he quickens me and brings into my life in wisdom. I was on the way down, I got to listen to one of Dr. Stevens' old classes, and he started out with a bomb, you know, just a bomb. He said, "I don't know how many of you here will finish your course." And he said, "This class is for you." He says, "I have finished. I'm basically near the end of my course." And so what I'm sharing with you is to help you finish yours as well. And he went on to say that too many believers are theoretical. What they know doesn't really penetrate and put treasure in their souls. So that they say, "Where?" Like Peter did, remember? He said, "Where will we go, Lord? You're the only one who has the kinds of words that stick, the kinds of words that fix, the kinds of words that edify, the kinds of words that heal, the kinds of words that change me, the kinds of words that bring me," what? "Peace." And I was looking at that, another verse that we think we know in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and it says there, "I know," God says, I know the thoughts and that I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil." And the word there, "I know," means that he is someone who he carefully selects and decides how to think towards us. He's very, very careful. He won't accept anything outside of his thinking towards us. And then the word, you know, the thoughts means thoughts, intentions, and plans. So it's talking about what? Objective things, but also intentions deal with the will and emotions in the whole entirety of it. So God has a plan of grace to bring us into a place where He is the stability of our times. He is the wisdom that comes from above and is first peaceable and pure. You know, we see so much these days of stuff happening, and I think, you know, like, this is, you know what? That happens to reveal that people are not pure. Because what do? They accuse. They're so ready to fault find and establish blame and say that, you know, and it gets political and all that kind of stuff. But it comes from a place of an impure heart, a heart and a mind that has not what? Hasn't been touched deeply by the thoughts, the intentions, and the plans and the purposes of God. It's a heart that hasn't been made what? God's treasure house. And so they don't see God. They laugh at the notion of it. They call us mentally ill. No, they say, say weird stuff. And they don't even realize that it's like, you're saying that because you're dead to the source of life. You're dead to the redemption that He has for you. And so I think that's what I have to say to you this morning. that we need this anointing. We need God to personally visit our hearts, to do a work in our innermost parts. It shows up on our faces. It shows up in our conversation. It makes us happy. It makes us free indeed. And I'm so thankful to be with you.
Yes.
And God bless you. Let's pray.
Wow, beautiful.
Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you, God, that you desire to fill us full of pure, pleasant, and powerful treasures. We thank you for the body of Christ, Lord, for what they mean to us as a covering, and what they mean to you as a source of reaching others. And God, we just pray you bless this entire weekend in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.